Back here on the McFarland Show, Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's been fun in here so far. Day two of the show. Darren and Justin with you. John Glennon, at Glennon Sports on Twitter. He covers the Titans for SI.com, and he covers the Preds for NHL.com. Johnny, how we doing?
I'm doing well. Good to hear your voice again, D-Mac.
Yes, sir. Good to be back. Good to be back. How are things in your world?
I can't complain. You know, we got all kinds of things going on between the Titans and Preds, all kinds of issues, excitement. So it's good for business, right?
Good. Yeah, let's delve. Let's go head first, right in there. Okay. Let's start
here
with the Titans. And you're privy to these press conferences and how Mike Vrabel is. Got a little spunky about the second half woes. They've been outscored 64-7. For whatever reason, they've been very good in the first half, have not been good in the second half. I said yesterday, I actually agree with him. I know it's not the popular side or opinion to be on, but every win is not going to be pretty. Every win is not going to be easy. Every win is not going to be dominant. A win is a win in the NFL, and sometimes you just have to take it and eat it however it's served to you, and that's exactly what he said. But I'm asking you, what do you think about what Mike Vrabel said, and what do you think about the tale of two halves?
Well, you know, I can understand why he went where he went, you know, which was basically to say, shut up, I'm tired of hearing the second half questions. We just beat a good division rival on the road, you know, let's move on. I can understand that, you know, that it's certainly worth celebrating that win for the Titans. It's a tough victory, and they're 2-2. On the other hand, I mean, this is an issue at some point that needs to be fixed. 7 points in the second half of four games is a little ridiculous at this point. And, I think in the last two games we have seen issues on first down in the second half. Very little game, very little, you know, production on the first downs, and all of a sudden you're looking at third and longs. That's where, you know, Ryan Tannehill threw his interception. That's where the Titans conked out against the Colts. Those are some of the issues, I think. But whatever it is, you can't, you know, in three of these four games for the Titans, you throw the Buffalo game out. That was a blowout. That was kind of a wash. But in three of these four games, it's basically come down to a play or two, and you're making that margin very, very, very small. You know, in the opener against the Giants, they didn't get it done. They didn't stop that two-point conversion. Against the Raiders, they do stop a two-point conversion. And against the Colts, they come up with a big stop or two on those last few Colts drives. But there's no reason it has to come down to just a play or two in the second half when you're ahead by a healthy margin in the first half.
It's a beautiful day outside, but let me be the Baby Ruth in the pool, okay? Over the years, John, this game right here, a game in Washington against a Commanders team that has not looked very good here the last couple of weeks, a team they should beat. The Titans are favored on the road, which is a hard thing to be in the NFL, especially if you're only 2-2, but yet they're favored. That tells you what the odds makers think about Washington. The reason I'm asking the question, and you're probably snickering, going, you probably know where I'm going. Does this feel like a trap game? Everybody probably, you know, everybody's looking at this game going, oh, the Titans are going to be Washington. We've done this before,
yeah.
Right? And then you know what happens.
Oh, I agree. I completely think this has the makings of a trap game. You know, you look at similarity maybe last year when they went up to play the Jets. You know, it was a similar type situation, and they seemed like they had gotten things together. They were moving in the right direction. So, all right, you know, the Jets are certainly not going to be a problem. Well, it turned out the Jets were a problem. And, you know, you look at the Commanders here, and there are so many reasons to doubt the Commanders. I mean, three losses in a row. They've scored a total of 18 points in their last two games. Carson Wentz has never beaten the Titans. He's 0-3. And then he's the owner of a rare double lead in the NFL this year, leads the league in both interceptions thrown, 5, and number of times sacked, 17. It's a kind of a dubious double dip for Carson, yeah. But I think what you have to do if you're the Titans, you have to remember that in three of these four games that they've played so far, no matter who the opponents have been, that margin of error, as we talked about, is so small. Every game except for the Buffalo game has gone right down to the wire. So you have to keep that in mind. Why would it be any different, in Washington this week? And another factor I think you have to consider, too, is that this Titans defense, one of its shortcomings has been giving up too many big plays, 20, 30 yards. We saw a bunch against the Colts as well. Well, who was lurking on the Commanders but a guy named Terry McLaurin, excellent wide receiver who's averaging 18 yards a catch this year for the Commanders. So he's the kind of guy that, one or two plays could really impact the outcome of a game. So a couple of reasons to keep dialed in if you're the Titans on Sunday.
Those Carson Wentz numbers, those kind of numbers will have your head coach cussing a lot, like we just heard from the coach, from Ron Rivera up there in Washington. John, I wanted to ask you about the depth of this football team and how much the drafts of the past few seasons are starting to show up for this football team in a number of ways. We've got, first-round picks playing special teams. We've got, another first-round pick who's no longer on the team. As a matter of fact, we've got an entire 2020 draft who is either not in the NFL barely. I think there's like one guy left in that entire draft class that's even in the NFL currently. Is that starting to show itself in this depth, and could that be a reason why these first half leads are not holding as much because they just don't have the gas in the tank?
Yeah, I think it certainly could be a contributing factor. There's no doubt about that. I think the obvious two positions we look at, as you referenced there, the offensive line, certainly the Titans had to think that Dylan Raidens is a starting offensive tackle at this point here in his second season. Unfortunately for the Titans, not only is he not a starting offensive tackle, he's not even the swing tackle anymore. He wasn't even in, the third tackle when Taylor Lewan went down. He didn't move into the starting lineup at that point. He's a guard, right now. So big disappointment there. Obviously we all know what happened to Isaiah Wilson. And then at the corner spot where the Titans have had a lot of injuries, what would be a perfect solution is, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we had a first-round draft pick who stepped right in there and was performing as expected and performing well? And Caleb Farley, week two, couldn't get off the bench in the second half, played one snap in week three. And, when you look at what he did in week four, in some ways you say, okay, he took a small step forward because he was out there at least for 27 snaps. The problem, of course, is that during one of those snaps, he gave up a 44-yard completion. So, yeah, some of those picks are really starting to hurt. In defense of John Robinson, I will say this. You always have to judge by the big picture. And let's face it, the Titans, have six straight winning seasons. I think four straight in the playoffs. Number one seed last year. So
20 games over 500 with John Robinson.
Yeah, so in the big picture, you still say, hey, John Robinson's doing the right things, certainly, but you have to wonder when some of these drafts are going to start cutting away at some of that foundation the Titans have laid, some of these first-round and second-round picks. I have just not been doing it lately.
By the way, is Isaiah Wilson still on the Giants practice squad? Is he still with the organization, or is he out of football?
No, he is. We don't know where Isaiah is at this point, which was kind of what the story was when he was with the Titans, for that matter. Wow.
Back to focusing on music, maybe?
Maybe.
Is that what he was focused on?
So, he's that was certainly a an interest. He likes his boats. Maybe he's living on a boat and traveling around the world, kind of thing. We can only hope the best for Isaiah Wilson.
Oh, boy.
Switching gears to the Predators very quickly here, John. And, Darren has been giving me some education as far as the way hockey has been going as of late, with the amount of goals scored continuing to rise, and the fact that we had two guys on the Predators who set franchise records last year, yet the team ended up in the eighth seed. It really isn't all that surprising because of the amount of goals that are now being scored in today's NHL. With that in mind, John, what are the expectations for this team going into the brand new year here? What do they think that they are as they look into the mirror there?
I think they believe themselves to be a better team, and honestly, I certainly agree with it. I think expectations should be higher this year. You know, I'm not saying are they ready to contend for, you know, to make a deep run in the playoffs. I don't know about that, but I think they made some excellent additions here in the off season. When you look at the defenseman Ryan McDonagh, they added in trade from Tampa. He forms a shutdown pair now with Matthias Ekholm. He has all kinds of experience, leadership. I think that's something, you know, that's going to prove very valuable. And they add in the free agency department, you know, Nino Niederreiter, you know, a good forward, aggressive, forechecking. You know, I think 5 or 6 seasons with 20 goals or more. So I think he's going to be a really good addition to the top six. You know, I think they still got some question marks. You know, is Philip Tomasino, is he ready to kind of take the next step? And you know, he's a former first-round pick. You know, is he ready to have a breakout season? Or is there still a learning curve there? You know, and I think there's still some questions maybe on the fourth line, too, exactly who's going to be there. But I kind of like what this team did during the offseason, and I have higher expectations for this team than last year, certainly.
Okay, leave us with this. I'm going to put you on the spot. They've got to whittle this roster down. They were able to take extra players over to Switzerland and now Prague, where they are currently, and they will start their season in Prague Friday and Saturday to kick off their season against the Sharks. And, yes, those games will count. Give us a surprise roster move, and take that however you want, but give us a surprise roster move or just something that will wow us that you think that'll happen in the next 5, 6, within a week or less. It's kind of a putting you on the spot, but you know, they've got some people currently on this roster. How do you feel? You think Cody Glass is going to make opening night roster? Do you believe, you know, I don't know, take it however you want. Who do you think is going to play alongside Niederreiter and Johansson? That seemed to be a two that they really liked together. Who would be the third? I don't know. Like I said, it's wide open.
Yeah, it is. And some of the guys that are making it interesting, you know, one that immediately, you know, strikes me, you know, is this Kiefer Sherwood.
Yeah, like where did he come from? Like Sherwood, I mean, it's like, does he really have a chance of playing Friday night?
Or right, yeah, it's
Friday afternoon
crazy.
Here?
You know, this guy has only played, you know, I think he's played in 80 NHL games. You know, he's not a young guy. He's 27 years old. He had an incredible year in the AHL last year. You know, 36 goals and 75 points in just 57 games. And all of a sudden, you're watching the game the other night, and all of a sudden, this guy's, you know, playing on the line with Johansson and Niederreiter. And where is Philip Tomasino, the guy we talked about? He's scratched.
Yep.
He's inactive. You know, and this is the final. This is, you know, presumably a preseason finale, a tune-up, if you will, for the regular season for a lot of these guys. So he is a guy that is intriguing because I think of, you know, what he might bring to that line if he somehow does wind up there, which, again, I still think is a surprise. You know, I still think Tomasino is more likely, but this guy is really making some noise, and they like his aggressiveness, you know, the fact that he's a good chemistry fit with Johansson and Tomasino. So he certainly intrigues me. And then, yeah, Glass is certainly interesting to me as well, because it sort of depends on how you want to make up that fourth line, right? Do you want kind of another bang 'em, smash 'em, crash 'em fourth line? You know, do you have a Michael McCarron type in there? Or do you want to go with another line that maybe has some goal-scoring potential and add Cody Glass in there? And if you do, if you have a fourth line with guys like Cody Glass and maybe Ellie Tolvanen, can that fourth line, you know, can those guys start to produce? You know, I think Glass and Tolvanen, to me, are two guys that are talked about a lot in terms of potential. You know, they're both first-round draft picks. They both seem to get a fair amount of scoring chances, but we haven't necessarily seen them produce the way they need to. So that's another, I don't know if that counts as a surprise or not, but more of a question mark, you know, how you want to assemble that final line and whether those guys can sort of start living up to the expectations that they have.
Lincoln in the backup, he's nailed that down in your opinion? I believe so. Say you as we wrap this up, and who do you think is the odd man out when it comes to the goalie? They've got a situation, you know, Askarov's going to be in Milwaukee. What are they going to do? What are they going to do with Ingram? What are they going to do with Cooley? What are they going to do with – somebody's going to be odd man out real quick on the way out. Nice. How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Lankinen has looked good in the preseason. I think he has nailed that number two down. And honestly, I kind of wonder, you know, about Connor Ingram. And I wouldn't have said that at the end of last season. You know, I thought he performed pretty well for the most part in the playoffs. And, you know, I thought he would be number two going into this year. He is not. You've certainly got, you know, Askarov in the AHL, and they seem to like Cooley, too. So I kind of have some questions, you know, where Connor Ingram is going to wind up. I'm not sure he's a part of the big picture at this point. We will see.
Yeah, John, wow. Good stuff. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
John Glennon at Glennon Sports. We appreciate him joining us. Good stuff. Titans and Predators. We'll talk to Kevin Ingram to begin the second hour of the program, talk a little Vanderbilt. We had Vince Ferrara on yesterday talking about the Vols. We'll switch gears at 3:00.